Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our passage this morning, our gospel passage, picks up immediately after the gospel passage from last week. In fact, the first verse today is Jesus' reply to the crowd that was asking for the bread that comes from heaven and gives life to the world. So Jesus replies that He is that bread. And with that reply, conversation goes off the rails. Jews grumble, and although we don't read what happens next, I will tell you, the disciples have a very difficult time accepting and believing Jesus, and so many of His followers turn and walk away. All of this because Jesus claims to be the source of eternal life. And also because He told them that, they would have to eat of His flesh. So indeed, their reactions are probably not all that surprising. That's a truly difficult passage for obvious reasons. And on the surface, at least from where we sit 2,000 years later, libraries filled with books about Jesus, the meaning is straightforward. Jesus is our Savior. He was sent from heaven by the Father to secure for us eternal life. If we believe, we will be saved. Bread metaphor or not, the message is no more complicated than this. But is that really all there is? Are there any nuggets hiding under the surface of this passage? Is there anything left undiscovered? Speaking of nuggets, during the California Gold Rush, the 1850s, over 300,000 people migrated to the West. 300,000. One in 90 people traveled west for one thing: to find nuggets hidden beneath the surface of the land. On the surface, there was very little to see, but below it lay riches beyond imagination. Those miners who were hungry for it, who were starving for it, sold everything they had, risked their very lives to travel across the country in search of this food that promised fullness to their life. They believed that they could never be fed, never be full any other way. And for those who did find gold, for those who did strike it rich, there are very few accounts of them retiring. There are very few recorded statements of men who said, I found enough, I'm full, and laid down their shovels and returned home. Quite the opposite, in fact. The more they ate from this buffet of gold riches, the hungrier they became. They were hungry when they arrived, and finding an ounce of gold didn't satisfy that hunger. It only made it worse. Pound of discovered gold only drove them to seek another and another. They were never full. They were always, always hungry. And this motivated them to dig deeper, seeking that next nugget that lay just hidden under the surface of where they last dug. Now think for a moment how this must have changed them. How it must have transformed them as they focused on meeting this single need. From the very beginnings of their adventures, it drove them to redefine who they were. Once farmers, once businessmen, they were now miners, exchanging their current lives on only a promise that would result in a better, richer one. And this transformation, it began immediately when the hunger first entered into them, and it didn't finish until their death. Holes now dug, not for gold, but to bury their lifeless bodies. Bodies transformed, but always hungry until their final breath. Would they have done any of this? Would they have gone through any of this transformation if not for their hunger? Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." See, Jesus offers himself to the world, but he knows that only those who hunger for him will seek him out. All others who hunger for the things of this world will have no interest. They will see, but they will not believe. They will be offered, but they will decline. And they will look to the world to satisfy their needs, but they will never be full. They will hunger until their final breath, when they recognize with their eyes and ears what their hearts had always known, that the true source of life was never self, was never the pursuit of worldly things, but was Christ. But then it will be too late to repent. They will be cast down and live eternally in suffering, hunger for what they once rejected. But for those who hunger for Christ, they will be eternally fed. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." See, those who have heard God's word and believed, this passage teaches, will be drawn to the Father. They'll find a hunger deep in their hearts that will spark a transformation. They will come to know that satisfaction cannot come from things of the world, but from Jesus himself. And they will come to see that their lives, once lived for self, will now be lived for Jesus. And their hunger, once fed by selfish desires, will now be fed by his grace. And their hunger will now be a hunger that only he can satisfy. And he will satisfy it with bread and wine, but not in the way that the world expects. The bread that he gives for the life of this world is his very flesh, nailed to a cross and forsaken by the Father. This is the eternal bread, his broken body, given as a sacrifice and then raised to life on the third day. This is the eternal bread that he offers us. This is the eternal bread that promises life everlasting. Now, I asked earlier if there were any nuggets hiding under the surface of this passage. If there was anything left to be uncovered. But maybe some better questions might be these. Is there anything hiding underneath this passage that you are hungry to uncover? Is there anything hiding under the surface of any passage that you are hungry to uncover? Are you hungry to know Him more? To spend time listening to Him as He speaks to you through the pages of the Bible? Are you hungry to seek after Him, carving out time in your day to learn more about Him? Do you long to be fed at His table, to receive His forgiveness and His mercy through His body and blood? This is what it means to hunger. This is what it means to hunger for Him. Now, don't misunderstand me. In no way am I implying that you must seek to be saved or that you should question your salvation. Not at all. In your baptism, you have been assigned to Jesus, given new life. You should live in confidence of that. In fact, Jesus says, He teaches all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You've been eternally fed. Fed first through your baptism and now at the Lord's table. But do you still seek Him? Or do you go out into the world satisfied that you've had enough? This passage today tells us that Jesus wants us to want Him in every moment of our lives. He wants us to want His forgiveness, to need His forgiveness when we sin. He wants us to want His body and blood, to need His body and blood to give comfort and peace. He wants us to want His words, to need those words to enter our ears and work in our hearts. He wants us to want Him. He wants us to need Him. He wants us to hunger for Him. And He's at the table, His table, waiting to satisfy that hunger forevermore. See, Jesus wants you to pursue Him like the miners of old pursued gold. They gave up everything. They allowed themselves to be transformed to a different life, and they never stopped searching for more. That's what He's asking you to do this morning. To never stop wanting to learn about Him. Never stop wanting to know Him. Are you hungry for Jesus? Please pray with me. bread of life sent us from heaven, eternal food to fill our soul, living word fill with your spirit. You are the manna who makes us whole. Amen.